to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
And what was that?
Well, that's a new rock band called Placebo.
A placebo?
Yeah.
A placebo is a kind of an empty drug pill, though.
Yeah, it's a sort of stopgap measure.
So why would you call yourself after an empty drug pill if you're a band?
It's provocative. It's making you think, you see. And the lead singer's a sort of a lady man.
Well, it's freaking me out.
A wilting, pale, slim lady man.
With dyed hair, the kind of chap who dives into a public swimming pool and there's a black cloud behind him.
Designed to confuse the squares.
Right.
Like you.
Well, it's done the
job.
The
dad rockers.
That's the good Placebo song, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Nancy Boy, we love that. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Very nice to be with you. The sun is shining, even though the world is crumbling. Everything's fine here.
Yeah, business as usual. People don't seem to realise that the world's ended.
The chuckle markets are still doing well.
Yeah.
Trading successfully.
Trading's up.
Here
share
at BBC
prices are up
Music.
on the chuckle markets. But we're happy to be resuming normal service, listeners, with the two of us in place. Hasn't been this way for a while.
It's been ages.
So we hope you feel, if you're a regular listener to the show, we hope you feel a frisson of comfort, like slipping your foot into an old shoe.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Nearly sounded revolting, didn't it?
To an old tramp.
To an old man. We hope you feel like you've just slipped your naked foot.
Don't say it again, though. There you go.
A warm slipper.
Well done. Well done. Excellently avoided. So, yes, you know, we've got lots of good stuff for you, listeners. Things to talk about. Have you got lots of things to talk about?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. We're going to be resolving song wars within the next hour. We've got Text the Nation. It says in Heat magazine, I noticed in Heat magazine, which I bought this week because my wife was in hospital. She gave birth to a baby woman, and it all worked out. But it meant that while she was in agonizing pain, I had to go out and buy her a stack of appalling mags.
Your wife relies on lady mags like other people would rely on vitamins or... you know, special pills.
That's women, man, not just my wife.
I've got a women.
They run on
and she doesn't read them.
Does she not?
No.
Have you banned them?
No, she doesn't want to read them.
She secretes them. She's got a stash somewhere,
not,
like porn.
I'm not trying to belittle your lady. She's a very wonderful lady.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's better than that sort of thing.
That's what you think. It's stashed there somewhere under her bed.
You think?
Yeah, definitely.
My lady's got a secret. You think all women have to look at Heat and Grazia?
Left to their own devices.
Really?
Yes, that's
You're
what
so
they do.
You're so sexist.
It's a little bit sexist, isn't it?
We should do an experiment where we leave some ladies in a room and hide some lady mags.
Well, that sounds...
Do you remember like that experiment where they put a stud spray on one chair? To see whether women would sit on it.
No.
Well, I do. I remember
that
one. What's
that experiment?
It's a famous one in my brain.
The stud spray experiment.
It's one that took place in my head in the 70s.
The stud spray project.
But you do the same thing and you just rub lady magazines on a chair and then see which one they sit down on.
Well, you know, that would be a good advert for Heat magazine. I could imagine them doing an advert like that. Anyway, the reason I mentioned it is I haven't seen Heat for a while. And I noticed at the back that they mentioned this show in their listings, you know, in their sort of regular pick. They list all the shows that you should listen to on a Saturday. We get 5 red stars.
No.
Finally.
They never used to give us five red stars.
We've never got anything more than 4 stars in our entire lives.
I'm reactivating my subscription.
5 red stars. Us, Jonathan Ross, Russell Brand.
Wow.
And I think maybe Bermock O'Leary.
I'm suddenly interested in the cellulite of the stars again.
But anyway, they summarise the show as being Adam
a
and
load
Joe
of old.
No, they say with Text the Nation and Song Wars.
Ah,
you know,
they're the nation's favourite features, as voted for by Heat magazine.
So we'll have those features
and loaded
in this
magazine. All the mags. We got to start being nice about mags.
Exactly. We haven't heard back from Grazia, have we?
Well, we didn't exactly send them anything, apart from a couple of insults indirectly.
We didn't send the songs to them, did we?
We should send the songs to them. Let's send the songs to them.
Well, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
I'm eyeing our staff.
Okay, listen, let's play some music right now.
They look insulted by being called staff.
no one likes
that
being
wasn't
called staff.
Good.
Okay, here's Paul Weller. Are you relieved, Joe?
What?
About Paul Weller arriving?
Yeah, thank gosh.
This is 22 Dreams. Paul Welchwar. with 22 Dreams. He's gone literally insane in that song.
He's gone mad. Controlled madness.
That is an enjoyable racket, isn't it? And well done, Paul Weller. I still haven't applied myself correctly to that album, his new album. It's apparently very good.
That's his new single. It's a double A-side. On the other side is a track called Sea Spray. Oof. It's released on the 3rd of November this year. So that's exciting.
What do you business. Do when you see spray?
What do I do when I see spray? I can't think of the correct answer to that.
Thanks for even thinking about it.
It's all right. It's going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
Did you watch Jonathan Ross's program last night?
Well, I did, yeah, but I don't like talking about him because I think it'll make people switch over to him.
Oh, come on. He's a fact of life.
Every listener we can get.
Well, he's not on yet. Don't worry about it.
Isn't he?
No. But it's an enjoyable TV assignation.
I did watch it. And the Colin Farrell interview was a revelation. We have in the past been cruel to Colin Farrell.
Everyone's been cruel to Farrell.
Based on his resume, nothing personal, yeah. But just a feeling of frustration that Farrell maybe hasn't hit the heights that he could have in his movies. But he came on the telly and he was nervous and articulate and vulnerable and human and
good
furry
looking.
And animal.
I mean, something must have been stirring in your loins, even though you're a very heterosexual man.
You know what I thought? I could see why everyone cast him. I thought, wow, you meet that guy, you just want to help him.
Yeah.
And be his friend.
And do things to him.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's too hairy for me.
Really?
Not for me. Too much hair. Well, you're hairy as well, so all sorts of static would be created.
Sparks would fly.
If you got even a meter away from him.
Yeah. But no, it was a sort of one of those career-defining interviews. Do you remember when Russell Brand first went on Jonathan Ross and he...
What, you think Colin Farrell's going to have a stand-up career?
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe in a year or so we could maybe see Russell Brand...
Maybe get his own Channel 4 show.
Maybe see Colin Farrell hosting the MTV Awards is what I'm saying. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he really came across well, and I imagine he would have changed a lot of people's minds about him, because I haven't seen him interviewed for ages, and all I've seen of him is stuff on red carpets where he's burbling semi-coherently from the last few years when he was in his booze abyss, you know?
Yeah, it's changing things. It's all changed for Farrell. He's going to be getting the big roles.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be getting a Channel 4 series.
In Bruges. I love In Bruges.
I didn't
What's
like
your
it
problem?
Very much. I don't know. There's something wrong in my head. It's exciting news for Farrell and exciting news for people whose eyebrows actually join up.
His don't join, they're just very large.
No, but if you looked on the bottom ends of them, you could trace a line of hair from the bottom of the eyebrows to the top of the beard.
Right.
So it was a complete circle of hair.
I see what you mean.
Like a line around his eyes and mouth.
The circle of hair.
The circle of faddle. The hairy faddle circle. His treasure trail. His spatial treasure trail.
What a pot of gold would be at the end.
Anyway.
Of the trail.
Yes. Great music coming up as well in the next hour. We should have a bit more now. This is a free choice from you, Adam. To explain
yes.
yourself.
Many of my free choices pop up on my MP3 player when it's on shuffle, and I'm surprised by how enjoyable the song is. This was one such. And, you know, like a thing that was very prevalent last year was a sort of middle-of-the-road, easy listening sound in modern music. I'm thinking of The Feeling, mainly. And I just heard this song by Supertramp and thought, wow, you can't beat the original, though. As wonderful as The Feeling are, this is the logical song. I defy you not to be moved, perhaps into another room, by this one by Supertramp. That's Rilo Kiley with Portions for Foxes. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
You're not supposed to really feed foxes.
Really?
City foxes. Isn't that true? Or you're not, because you're not supposed to get them dependent on human drugs.
Right.
You're not supposed to feed foxes drugs.
Who would feed a fox anyway?
You might, because they tiptoe into your garden. If you live in the city.
No. What, people putting sources of fox food out?
Saucy food.
What?
Saucy sauces.
Have you not seen the Mighty Boosh? Did you not see the Mighty Boosh episode with the crack fox in it?
I must have done.
You must. I mean, you would remember. It's amazing. It's like one of the best episodes ever.
But do they feed it?
Well, he's already fed himself.
Right.
I mean, if you haven't seen the crack fox Mighty Boosh episode, your life's got a big hole in it. But no, why would you feed a fox? That seems insane.
Because sometimes they can seem thin.
Foxes make a horrible sound.
Oh no, it's animal night. Killing again.
They make the sound of a strangulated baby. That's just awful, the sounds that the foxes make.
Yeah, but think of the sounds you make. Exactly, that's just awful.
That's not worse.
I just want to go out into the garden with an air gun and take you out.
Take me out suddenly? Why is it swung?
Shut you up, take you to the RSPCA.
So quickly it shifts from don't feed foxes to I'm going to shoot you with an air gun in your garden.
To me, that's a perfectly normal switcheroo. So don't take Rilo Kiley's advice. Don't give the foxes no portions.
Now, there's a new band in town. There's four of them. They've got a funny sense of humour. Kick the song off there, James. And they've been taking some crazy cakes.
Ooh.
And the result of the crazy cakes is this new sound, which is called psychedelia.
I'll never catch on.
This is the Beatles with I Am the Walrus, just in case you don't know.
So going left and right, different sounds, crazy old stuff like from the radio and TV and all that stuff, and they're mixing it in like a big bowl. Wicked.
Beatles. It's Beatles. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and it's time now for the news, read by Catherine Cracknell.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs, so check it out.
Song Wars time. Before that, you heard Brass Neck by Wedding Present. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and we have Garth on the line. Are you there? Hey, Garth, how are you doing?
Very well. How is everyone there?
Good, thank you, Garth. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm sitting in my bedroom. I've just had a toasted crumpet. All is well.
Oh, lovely. Are you metaphorically speaking?
No, proper real crumpet. Toaster with a bit of peanut butter on top.
Because I had some toasted crumpet last night. So this is exciting. It's last week's Song Wars Radiohead thing with all the Radiohead stems. I think Adam's just
I'm now thinking about your toasted crumpet.
It's resonating.
I'm imagining
pure
it now.
Rubbishness. the idea was that Radiohead have posted that the stems, basically the elements of their new single, online, and everyone's been invited to.
They should call them stem
to
cells.
Remix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Adam and Garth, you did remixes while I was away.
Have you posted yours on the Radiohead website yet, Garth?
No, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You're supposed to post them up there. I posted mine a couple of days ago, and I've got, and you garner votes, you see. And I don't know what happens.
You'll get loads of votes.
I've got like 460 votes. If you go onto my blog, listeners, adam-buxton.co.uk, you'll see a widget there which enables you to listen to my Song Wars Reckon a Remix and vote for it if you wish to. But yeah, that's the whole deal, man. You've got to upload your remix to Dead Airspace or reckonaremix.com or whatever it is.
I was so relieved to have finished it. I thought, right, that's me done.
Get it up there, boy.
So okay, that's my next job.
Joe has
envelope. That pales into insignificance because is there a competition on the Radiohead website? Is someone going to win? Is one of the, because they get votes, don't they? When you plant your song on the Radiohead website, there's a little vote counter.
Yeah, I don't know what happens if you get the most votes.
Well, presumably there's going to be a winner there.
You get to shake hands with President York.
Really?
Possibly. I don't know. I've no idea.
Well, that competition pales into insignificance against this one, right?
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Garth? Just to remind you, listeners, Garth went, his remix was Tom York singing in the shower. Mine was imagining two editors in an editing suite arguing about music they were going to use. And Joe has the results there.
Yeah. Hey, Shawnee. No, the results. Wow, look at that. Adam, 65%. Garth, 35%.
It was close, man. That was pretty close.
Well, I think the best man won.
Thank you very much.
It's very noble of you, Garth.
I think musically, Buxton's finest work so far.
Well, comedically, I must say, I thought you had the edge there, Garth, but I can't pretend I'm sorry that you lost, because I was getting a bit paranoid about you coming on the show and winning each time with Song Wars, but
and can I say just how pleasurable it was not to have to do it?
Yes.
And just to listen to you guys doing it. That was really lovely.
Well, Garth, thank you once again for all your efforts when you were filling
in. I love doing it. And I also have to thank Chris Hufford for sorting out all the legal stuff.
Radiohead's manager.
That we could put on our podcast.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris,
so
and the Radiohead team.
Let's have a listen to the winning song. What was this called, Adam?
This was called It's Very Hard to Clear Radiohead.
Hey, thanks, Garth. See you soon. And here's Adam's winning track.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Garth.
There's two men sat in an editing suite, working on a serious TV show about cops on the beat with swearing in it. And there's a scene where things get really heavy for a minute. Shouting, crying, big decisions, people dying. But it still needs one more element to beef up the meaning. Or it might feel irrelevant. So the editor says, we need a really nice bit of music, Les. And Les, the director, says, I know, I got a wicked album a week or two ago. You know, the one by Radiohead. If we put some on the end of the scene, it'll knock them dead, Fred. That's the editor's name. And Fred says, yeah, I was thinking the same. But what about The Scientist by Coldplay? And Les says, no flipping way, Jose. Coldplay's flipping well yesterday. And it's totally wrong for the scene anyway. Fred says, all right, Les, you made yourself clear. You don't want to use no Coldplay here. How about a nice bit of Philip Glass? Come on, Les, you flaming arse. This isn't a science documentary. You don't use glass on a TV drama. I would have thought that was flipping elementary. It's bad drama karma. Come on, Les, I'm not a Coldplay snob. I just think this track would do the job really well when the strings all swell. Yeah? And the cops are looking out at all the bad stuff and they're thinking, oh, why does this have to happen every week? And I was thinking we could add a little scratching for a bit of street flavour. Yeah? Alright, maybe not. The thing is, Fred says, Les, it's really very hard to clear Radiohead. It's not the BBC and it's very expensive. No, I don't know if you know, but Tom's a big fan of the show, says Fred. Les shakes his head. We sent the band a tape a few weeks ago, said they had it confused with a different show, and if we want to use their music on any of the episodes, regardless of the content, the answer is going to be definitely no. But there's some good news. Aha said yes, if you want we could use Tape on Me. It's the only thing that we can clear. Why are you looking at me like that, Fred?
There you go. That Very is good. My winning Song Wars remix of Radiohead's Reckoner. And a reminder, of course, that anyone can remix Reckoner. All you have to do is download it from iTunes, the different stems, and you can have your own fun with it. And I found out too late that once you've downloaded it from iTunes, you get the different stems. They also give you GarageBand stems if you're using GarageBand. So I could have had an even easier time of remixing it in GarageBand, but it was fun.
We're going to try and in the future at some point think of some sort of Song Wars stem-based activity.
Well, I was thinking about that. The thing is that if we gave people the stems to... I mean, they come from GarageBand anyway, so there's not much to... You know, anyone can remix our songs. The only thing they need from us is the vocal stems, I suppose. We could make those available.
If they're originally played riffs using the musical typing function.
Right.
And they're just using a sound from GarageBand.
Uh-huh.
That's original in a way, isn't it? It's no more or less original than using a Roland synthesizer.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. It would have to be a particularly peculiar set of noises.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking maybe we could provide some vocals and we could invite listeners to do their own vocal. Like there could be a gap in the vocals.
Right, that's a good idea.
It could be like a famous, a duet or a... What do you call it when three people sing?
A threet.
Is it?
A triptet. I have no idea. What is that? What's it called when three people are singing if it's a duet?
A thringle song.
A throngle.
A throngle. we could post a throngle.
A trio?
Anyway, we'll think of something, but we're not promising anything.
It's just a trio.
We promised for Song Wars to do a song for somebody's first dance at their wedding, and I'm haunted by the fact that we might have missed the date. What was that person called?
Well, we have a letter here. It's from Emma and Niall, soon to be Mr. and Mrs. Shama, I think. They say, Dear Adam and Joe, we were amazed, chuffed and utterly pleased to hear you mention our email and request for help with the music for our wedding. We're more than happy to abide by the rules set by you both to get our very own Adam and Joe original song. You're both very welcome to attend our evening party. Not the actual wedding. No, we made it clear that we didn't want to go to the wedding, I think. Very welcome to attend our evening party and witness our first dance, should we be lucky enough to get your song created for us. See the enclosed invitation. And the date is 28th of March. So we got ages.
Next year. Next that's year. All right.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't have to get on that case too quickly.
Good.
Which is good. Next week, I think we're going to do spooky songs, right?
So, yes.
So that the winning song will be played on Halloween.
Played on Halloween, yes. Scary songs. Songs that, what sort of an angle are we going for there? Are we genuinely saying that we're going to frighten people?
Yes, I think we should.
Disturb them.
Yeah, disturbing,
unsettle
creepy.
Them.
Like either in a Marilyn Manson type way or.
Right.
What about if I was able to secure the services of Scary Spice?
That would be terrifying.
Would that,
that
be...
That would be pushing it too far.
I mean, would that still be within the rules of the competition?
It would be scary. It would. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would be extraordinary.
I'm going to get on it. We got some more music for you now, listeners. This is The Mighty Keen with The Lovers Are Losing.
That's Keen with The Lovers Are Losing. They've gone 80s.
Well, they're stepping into Coldplay's shoes in the success stakes. Do you know what I'm saying? In the power songwriting stakes.
Is there room in those shoes, though?
Well, I think Coldplay have slipped them off a little bit.
Really? They're still selling records hand over fist, though.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But they're slightly more, I don't know, they've gone...
In the sort of credible power rock stakes, do you mean?
I don't know. I think maybe the Coldplay songs are a little bit more left field, maybe even. Do you know? Like, their tunes are a little more obscure. It's hard to put my finger on what I mean. But I think what I mean is that Keane have unsheathed a massively powerful tune sword.
Right, they are, a glaive.
Yeah.
Like in Krull.
And they are wielding it.
Is it called a glaive?
I don't know. I was impressed, though. Where did you get a glaive from?
Everyone knows what a glaive is.
From the cladle to the glaive. What? What are you talking
about?
Remember
the film Krull?
Yes.
And he had a sort of throwing star thing.
Yeah.
That's called a glaive.
Really? Yeah. Isn't that just called a throwing star?
No, a glaive.
Okay.
How many times do I have to say it? That Keen single's digitally released on the 13th of October... Oh, the physical release is on the 20th of October. That was Pierce Brosnan small physical release. So listen, listeners, and Adam, this week I flopped down on the sofa at Children's Telly Time.
Mm-hmm.
Have a little rest, flicked on the telly.
Nice
and
bit of hot crumpet.
Thank you. I happened to see Blue Peter, which has relaunched. Have you seen Blue Peter recently?
Not for a long time. Connie Huck in there still?
No, they've completely, and I suppose because of the problems Blue Peter had.
Right.
They've decided they're going to bring in a new broom.
Mm-hmm.
And make it seem different and unsullied by past problems. So they've kind of reinvented it.
Right.
But in doing so, they seem to have, in my opinion, messed with the core of Blue Peter, the essential elements of Blue Peter.
Don't touch the core.
What would you say the essential elements of Blue Peter?
Element
as
one.
As we knew it in our childhood. Sure. Childhood.
Element one. Some version of the hornpipe, or whatever it's called, that piece of music, played. The tune must be there, even if it's rendered in a modern style.
Well, that's all right. It's still there. It's rendered in a modern style, kind of like as a sort of crazy rhubarb and custard march kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But with they've added splashing sounds.
Why?
Just splooshing.
Splooshing,
kids love splooshing. Blue Peter, ships, water.
I see.
Splooshing.
Of course.
Just to make it crazier.
Sure.
More gungy.
Like a gunk tank.
Exactly.
That's fine. Other essential element. Three engaging young presenters of various sexes and racial backgrounds.
Yes. They've got that as well. It's doing well so far by your criteria.
Yeah. I would like to see a gay presenter in there, like a very obviously flamboyantly gay presenter.
I think they've done that in the past.
That would be good. Okay, so that's good.
What about elements like the infinite set?
The infinite set?
Like it just being, Blue Peter being a sort of empty BBC studio with the white psych, as they call it, along the back, and then just some freestanding shelves.
Objet.
And sofas.
Right.
Is that to you essential to Blue Peter?
Certainly.
Like a big, blank, empty, negative play space in which anything can happen.
Yeah.
Cooking, building. Yeah, it's got. I'm glad you think that because that's gone.
Oh. No, you want it to be like a pathetic version of the scene in The Matrix where all the gun shells pop up.
That's true, but it's not that anymore. They've turned it into a sort of a funky bunker.
Oh, no.
Yeah, with fashionable exposed brickwork.
Oh, shut your mouth.
Yeah, some stairs that the presenters now run down at the beginning of the show. In fact, one of the presenters ran down. The other presenter was in the middle of doing things. So it was like we were interrupting them during, you know, some fun time in the funky bunker.
It's like Friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Very much so. What other essential elements to Blue Peter? Maybe the animals?
Certainly the animals.
The pets.
You've got to have pets roaming around there.
When I watched it, no sign of any pets.
What?
A dog wanders briefly through the corner of the shot at 10.25 minutes.
Well, that's a pet then.
And then at the very end, the pets do come on. But they look strangely drugged. They're not running. You remember they always used to just run away in old school Blue
Peter? They were scampery.
Now they're suspiciously complicit, rolling on their backs, cooperating. Something odd is going on.
They're just better trained dogs. Listen, after the Soxgate scandal, they would never do anything bad to animals.
You're right. The sofas become slumpy bean bags.
That's okay.
Is it?
Yes. Come on, Granddad.
There's no garden?
No garden? Well, everyone just vandalises it.
They didn't make anything?
That's a disgrace.
They made nothing.
You've got to have a make. That's the whole backbone of the Peter.
There was wacky science, but there was no making. No cooking.
What?
No prezzies.
Here's an idea for your granny's birthday. You can make this out of coat hangers and some rolls of toilet paper tube. None of that.
I saw a set. They had two VT packages. Mm-hmm. One was a massive advert for Merlin, the kids' series. Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah.
In another one, they sent their new presenter, Joel, who's a nice chap, to Alaska.
Alaska?
Yeah. To kind of work with people who saved animals. And they found a very sick American eagle. And they got him to catch it. And he did it. He made a really bad job of catching it. He really scared it. And then he tried to put it in a box and he scared it and then tried to get it out of the box and he gave up because he was too frightened. And then it died of trauma.
What?
Yeah, the vet said, well, it's a 50% chance. It's very frightened.
You scared it.
And
so
then about
much.
2 minutes later, it was, well, it's now gone down to 30. It's having trouble breathing. It's been really traumatized and freaked out. Then it went back to the studio and Joel looked in the camera and said, well, I'm sorry to tell you that the eagle died. So they sent their presenter to Alaska where he killed an American eagle.
That's amazing. And you know what? In the olden days, they would have spun the piece, surely, to make it a little less downbeat.
Yeah, they would have just swapped the bird.
Swap the eagle.
Who would know? For another. And look, here's the eagle and it's fine.
But in the new accountability times.
Yeah, you can't pull the rug over the kiddie's eyes. The eagle died and he killed it. But the final indignity was that all through the whole program, there is a music bed.
No.
Now, music bed, of course, means that there's a music track playing under everything they say. And there used to be authoritative, calm silence in the background of Blue Peter, right?
Right.
Used to be sort of clipped, well-spoken voices.
Bit of Judd, bit of Purvis.
Yeah.
Showing where
not anymore. Here is a clip from the new Blue Peter. And listen to what's happening underneath the talking.
Hey, you guys, come over here because I've got a trick that's going to knock your socks off.
I can't wait to see this.
Till you see this. Right, what I want you to do is keep your eyes on that sachet of tomato sauce.
I'm not telling you what she's doing with that sachet of tomato sauce. It's a VT package from
Is that
Bangkok.
Literally right the way through, not just when they're teasing
right
stuff?
Right the way through. And if there's background noise in the room where you're listening to this, there is a rave track going on underneath all the Blue Peter links. So I was thinking, what if you apply that logic backwards? Like, what if you applied that logic to some Janet Ellis and Peter Duncan era Blue Peter? So I had a go. Have a listen.
The vandals then broke our lovely ornamental urn given to us by Mr. Taylor from Barnet. They then smashed up our sundial and then callously threw it into the pond.
And if that wasn't enough, they then trampled on the bedding plants as well. Well, we hope to repair the damage and we may even be able to repair the ornamental urn. But it's very sad to think that a few people take such pleasure from harming their fellow human beings.
Yes. That wouldn't work so well, would it?
Yes.
Would sound as if they were approving of the damage to the garden.
They should definitely do that. You just convinced me that it's a very good idea to have
to have sort of panic-inducing rave.
Everything. It's only a matter of time before they have it under the news.
Do your kids need a rave track beneath anything just to engage their attention?
They get very lethargic, if there's not rave music playing.
They need those acid flashbacks just to keep them going over tea.
Absolutely. Wow, I'm going to watch Blue Peter now.
You know what? I was being cynical about it, but at the end I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Changing with the times. That's what the BBC's all about. Now, here's a bit of a trail. What have we got on this trail, James? I'm excited. Oh, it's a Hub trail. Who's playing in the Hub? Frank Black? Very nice indeed. That was Frank Black, recorded live in the BBC Six Music Hub. When did that happen, Joe Cornish?
Well, let me have a think. I think it was in May. I'd say about May 2005, by the sound of the acoustic resonance in the room.
That was
atmospheric pressure measurements.
Right, the tuning as well. That's the kind of tuning he was using in 2005. May, that's his May tuning.
Mm.
Definitely lovely, very nice. What a wonderful sound, as Jonathan Ross says. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Joe, I'm pleased to tell you, we're going to play some more music now. We've got to, you know, it's all about the music here at Six Music. But after this, I'm going to maybe tell you, or sometime in this hour, about Prince. You know, I wasn't joking when I said I was going to get on the case and find out about Camille.
I found out about Camille as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll swap our Camille facts.
Okay.
But right now, here's Toots and the Maytals with Maytals, with Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Toots and the Maytals. Ooh, yeah, don't worry, man. I'm taking care of this one.
Yeah, all right.
Relax.
Sorry. Thanks, man.
Toots and the Maytals with Take Me... No, I'm panicking. I can't do it.
Take Me Home, Country Roads. It's okay, man. Everything's fine. Don't ever do that again. Look, I've got a... thing. Sorry.
got a thing.
I've got a thing. I reset my iPhone this week, Joe. I downloaded the new settings, the new version. And it wiped everything on there. I mean, it did ask me. There was a little dialogue box that popped up saying, you're going to lose everything on your phone in a second. Is that okay? And I said, yep. And off it all went. No, gone. My photos are gone and all my settings are gone and all that all stuff was gone. And it's sort of replaced them with a load of things that it thinks are more helpful, but... I don't think so. And now I've got to go back turning everything off and turning the stupid sounds off and reorganizing my life. All right? What are you going to do about it?
Just ignore the whole thing.
So listen, Camille, Prince, right?
Yeah, we were talking about this last week. We were discussing the kind of rumour that Prince did an album as a lady character. And we've since discovered that it's completely true. And I was being made a mockery of by suggesting that that album, Crystal Ball, was actually available in the shops, basically before Sign of the Times. He became hugely prolific, as I understand it.
Yeah.
And he almost released an album called Camille, done in the character of Camille. And then he turned it into three discs, which were going to be released as Crystal Ball. But the record company had some sort of a, you know, don't swamp the market style fit.
Yeah.
And selected certain tracks and released them as Sign of the Times. But the Camille was going to be like an 8-track album, and it had songs on it, most of which have turned up on subsequent Prince albums. That's my understanding of the situation.
That sounds about right. I got a nice email from Jason Draper. Thanks, Jason. He's actually written a book about Prince, which is available in America, not yet in the UK. I think it's being released next March. But
it's out of print.
He's nice.
Thanks.
One day it will be. And how ironic that day will be. He says that his Camille was this alter ego that he created having done Housequake, right? Because he fired The Revolution, his backing band, in 1986, shelved the unreleased album by Prince and the Revolution called Dream Factory.
Wow.
And recorded the song Housequake, later used on Sign of the Times, of course, using the sped-up vocal technique that he used in part on Let's Go Crazy B-side Erotic City.
Yes, I've been to Erotic City.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's just, well, there's a horrible stink in the streets.
And what comes out of the taps? Don't answer. So he he had this alter ego, Camille, with a speeded-up voice, believed to be named after the 19th-century French hermaphrodite Hercule Barbin, who was nicknamed Camille.
Camille, the notorious French hermaphrodite.
That's right.
That French hermaphrodite is notorious. Mum, a French hermaphrodite in the room again.
Mum, not the notorious French hermaphrodite Hercule Barbin.
Et bonjour. That's Camille's speeded up voice.
Get out!
Stop rubbing your non-specific bits all over the carpet.
Both your bits. Your double bit set. Get out.
One at either end. Not both at the same place. That's what's so frightening.
Oh, man. He even planned
a follow-up to the film Under the Cherry Moon. Did you mention this last week?
No.
Around the alter, using the Camille character, right? Mm. Where Prince would play both the evil Camille,
yes,
and the other character, a less evil Camille. The denouement of the film would be that they were one and the same.
Oh.
And Prince's character was schizophrenic.
Oh, well, I would have guessed that from the trailer.
I mean, what a film.
What a what a movie. It's a shame that Under the Cherry Moon wasn't the big hit it was expected to be. Otherwise, we would have seen those projects realised. Under the Cherry Moon's got some... It's got a really good party with an elephant at it. And he does... he dances on top of the piano. What does he sing? New Position or something really good on top of the piano. Then the end is amazing. The closing credits. He does Mountains over the closing right. credits. Apart from that, it's rubbish.
It's a load of all
it's
rubs.
It's a load of rubbish.
Is that Kristen Scott Thomas in that film?
Possibly. So it's someone like that, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure our listeners will tell us.
Is that due for reassessment anytime?
No. Well, in 2024, it's due for reassessment.
That's the end of Prince News. Time now for more music. Is this your free choice,
Yeah,
Joe?
This is a political free choice because, of course, it's all going off in America. There's going to be a civil war. It's not going to be a civil war, but Obama's leading and it's all very exciting and Palin's been exposed as a nutball this
morning. Michael Palin?
No, not Michael Palin.
Oh.
Sarah Palin. The insane, nose-wrinkling, winking Republican vice presidential candidate.
She's a hockey mom!
She certainly is.
What does that mean?
It's like Jerry Halliwell running for president.
Hey, that's a good idea.
And trying to get elected just on wrinkling her nose.
Well, that I would vote for her.
You would, wouldn't you?
She's got a winning peel.
Frightening times. Anyway, this is Marvin Gaye's take on the election in 72, a not dissimilar social circumstance, right?
Jerry Halliwell yes. running
yeah,
for office.
Exactly, the Spice Girls at the top of the charts.
Girl power.
And
the
this
nation.
Is this is alternate version number two of Marvin Gaye's song You're the Man.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, it's Text the Nation time. Before that you heard Marvin Gaye from the deluxe edition of Let's Get It On.
He had some chipmunks
the man.
There.
He had some speeded up stuff. That was his period when he was getting very tooty and just lying on a sofa with an 8-track or whatever mm-hmm. and just layering the vocals and toying with speeding things up and stuff.
Good times.
Yeah, they were good times.
Getting the chipmunks out there, it's always a fun thing to do.
Alvin and the gang.
Yeah.
But now it's time for Text the Nation. And this week in Text the Nation, we're asking you for your customised fashion disasters. Mm. Everybody goes through a point in life when they think that off-the-peg clothing bought from shops isn't quite individual enough. And you decide you'll customise your clothing.
Right.
Maybe adjust the fit. Maybe add some kind of design or badge. or maybe just take, you know, sartorial design into a new sort of authored personal area.
Right.
A unique look that you know no one else in the street will have.
Yeah, something that expresses something indefinable about yourself.
Yeah.
And says, this is who I am. I'm not just the man from Mr. Byright or whatever.
Yeah, I'm me.
I'm
and
me.
There's no one else like me.
Right.
This usually happens during the teenage years.
Yeah.
When one's not sure of the boundaries of existence or acceptable behaviour. You're testing the edges of the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened for me a few times. I once decided that I wanted a pair of swimming trunks, swimming shorts, like surf shorts.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find any with the material I wanted.
Like Bermuda shorts.
Yeah. So I must have been about 16 or 17.
Uh-huh.
So I went to John Lewis and bought some material. I thought, right, I'm going to make my perfect pair of swimming shorts.
So you got some like flowery curtain material or
got
something?
Got some flowery curtain material. I thought, this is really good. Why haven't I done this before? And I took it home.
Is it because I don't know anything about sewing or making clothes?
I thought anything was possible. I thought I could do anything.
Right.
I thought there were no limits to my capabilities.
You'd been watching No Limits with Jonathan King.
Probably.
Yeah.
So then I bought a pair of swimming shorts that were the correct sort of fit. And I took them apart to see what the different shapes were made out
scientific.
Of.
Scientific. Nice.
I traced round them on my new piece of material. And I cut the bits out and I sewed them together by hand. And I put them on. They were slightly odd fitting. And the seams didn't seem particularly strong enough. So I did a bit of extra stitching and I thought, excellent. And I popped them in my baggage for a holiday I went
on. No way.
Yeah, with a friend of ours in Corfu. And I went in Corfu, the first morning came, I put on my homemade trunkies, went bounding into the sea. First of all, the material wasn't waterproof in any way, or it wasn't, it was the wrong sort of material for swimming. So it clung to my nubile young body, very revealing fashion.
Yeah.
Secondly, the stitching really wasn't tough enough to put up with even small waves. So they pretty much fell apart.
Yeah.
As soon as I went into the sea.
Just floated off you.
So it was one of the hardest exits.
What are those curtains doing there floating around?
Why have you cut those three pieces of curtain material clinging to your naked, hairless, adolescent torso, Joe?
Have you got any pictures at all?
No, luckily there were no cameras around, thank
man,
God.
That would have
but
been
it was
good.
An ignoble exit from the water.
Nice.
Clinging onto my loins to keep the bits of material together, quickly wrapping my midriff in a towel.
Aged how old?
17. It's a bit too old.
Quite old.
Yeah, 16 or 17.
Right.
A bit too old. But I wanted to make a swimming statement.
Top marks for effort, though.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the material? Was it so crazy that you just thought, I can't.
It was just a nice paisley design,
they
think.
They already make pretty crazy Bermuda shorts.
I know,
did you know that?
But I thought, why spend the money?
Why spend the money?
When you can do it yourself. And, you know, you're laughing at me in a mocking fashion there, Adam, but you've had your own problems, haven't you?
Don't know what you mean. Maybe I'll tell people about my problems.
So if you've got any homemade fashion problems that you've had, if you've ever tried to make yourself some clothes or... customize your clothes. 64046, we'd like to hear your stories on Text the Nation. 64046 is the text number.
I'll share my fashion faux pas stroke disasters with you after this track from...
I love that band.
Santa Gold.
Oh, I hate that band.
This is Les Artistes. Very nice. Santa Gold with Les Artistes. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and we are talking for Text the Nation today about various kinds of fashion disasters that you've had because of your own ambition, I suppose.
Homemade fashion.
Yeah. Right. My thing was, my look, I was going for a kind of a fusion between Talking Heads, David Byrne in his big square suit on Stop Making Sense, and in my brain, some bits of punk.
And this is a look you wanted to create that you couldn't afford or felt wasn't represented in the shops.
Yeah, it was a combination of the fact that my dad had all these old suits and dress shirts, right? He had like collarless shirts from the olden days. So I would wear his suits, which were much too big for me, and then wear like a collarless shirt underneath and do it up to the top because I thought I looked a bit like David Byrne. Oh, my goodness. And then the way I would take that one step further, right?
Yeah.
And really freak people's minds was to make a long chain with some safety pins and pin them to my shoulders.
Like sort of Michael Jackson-style epaulette kind of things.
Correct.
But chains of safety pins, that's an age-old punk thing.
I don't know if the punks went for chains of safety
you
pins.
You had
so much.
Split trousers. That oh, and you yeah. had a line of
I
safety pins all the way down the seam.
I forgot.
So when your trousers split, you didn't sew them.
No.
You did it with loads and loads of safety pins.
All in a row.
And then just went about your business as if that was normal. Without commenting or saying anything.
I'd completely forgotten about that. I did. I looked a bit like a sort of very pathetic, posh version of Edward Scissorhands.
Right.
Wandering around there with all my bondage look, I guess, because what had happened is that my ma had taken in my floppy school trousers, right, and made them the requisite drain pipe narrowness.
Rupert Scissorhands.
Yeah, and then when, and I couldn't get them on because they were so tight.
Yeah.
So so I split them apart and then I did them with the safety pins there. I'd totally forgotten
but
about
you thought
that.
It looked cool.
Yeah, I was convinced it looked cool. Oh, man, I'm going to need a little while to get over that now. That's a traumatic memory. We want to hear about your fashion nightmares.
Or it can be a friend of yours if they've turned up with some kind of homemade disaster. Yeah. We'd like to hear about it.
64046 is the text. Here's a little free play for you right now. This is Broadcast with Smell... Oh, sorry, Still Smells? Where? Still Feels Like Tears is what I was trying to say. The Mighty Broadcast. Enjoy! Nice. That's Broadcast with Still Feels Like Tears. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's time for the news right now, read by Catherine Cracknell, with the music news read by...
Ruth Barnes.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about your customised fashion disasters, homemade sartorial escapades that have gone wrong. And we've been inundated with stuff. I'm just trying to sort through it here to find the most egregious ones. Not sure I found the absolute corkers yet.
I mean, you used to do things like, well, you were a big fan of badges and things like that.
Sure.
And painting. You were the first person that I came across that actually used Tippex.
Well, I've told this story before, but
on your clothes.
Yeah, but don't laugh at me. It was very advanced.
It was great.
I went to America on holiday when I was a teenager. I saw Top Gun before anybody else. I thought I'd bring the top. I'd be the first to bring the Top Gun look to the UK because I looked a bit like Tom Cruise.
You did.
Yeah.
You look like a cross, in fact, like a cross between Tom Cruise and the Iceman.
Really? What, Val Kilmer?
I can't remember. Who was, no, it was the bloke from ER.
Yeah, I
Dr.
know the
Green.
Fellow you mean. Anyway, so I bought a bomber jacket and I got some, I decided that the badges available in the shops weren't good enough. The sewn on patches weren't good enough. So I got some Tippex and painted badges on and it looked wicked.
Do you remember what the badges said? Were they just things like US Air Force?
Well,
the
Tippex brush was a bit splotchy. So yeah, they were sort of vaguely sort of wings, you know, and things like that.
I remember you had a pointy hand on there, didn't you?
Sure. Like there were a lot of 80s symbols.
Yeah.
Was that the 80s even? When was Top Gun released?
Yeah, that was the 80s,
last
of course.
Year. 80s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so here is one that's come in from Ali in Norn Iron. What does that mean? Does that mean Northern Ireland? Maybe. I don't know. Norn Iron. Anyway, among my handcrafted fashion disasters, I went through a phase of buying secondhand shirts, then copying the lyrics of my favourite songs onto the back in fabric paint.
Good idea.
My pride and joy was my ex-British Army's shirt with the entire words to 99 Red Balloons written on it in pink. In my 14-year-old wisdom, I was trying to be ironic. Were you really? Irony didn't exist then, did it? Not in the world of fashion and pop.
Well, that's a very dangerous gambit, though, if he was.
Painting all the lyrics on.
Yeah.
Have you ever done anything like that?
I'm trying to think. I've certainly painted lyrics onto a few things, yeah.
Mm.
I mean, it's a very tempting thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
To draw them on, I mean, you know, on your school bags and things like that. But when you actually draw them onto your clothes, that's really stepping over
that's
some
commitment.
Kind of... Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least you need commitment.
You need to be committed.
You need some commitment.
Here's one from Julian Bromley. In 1989, when I was 16, I decided to customise a pair of men's 501s by splashing paint over them. Whilst I'd intended to use red, yellow and blue, the only colours readily available in my dad's shed were peach, magnolia and burgundy. And they were far too big round the waist, so I belted them in, which gave me the look of an ample bulge in the front groin. Not an appealing look for a 16-year-old girl. The overall effect was that I was wearing my dad's old painting trousers.
It's really hard to get that kind of thing right, isn't it? And basically...
Well, the trick is not to try.
The trick is not to try. But the thing is, with fashion, it sort of depends on what you look like as well. Like you, Joe Cornish, as a young, skinny, reed pole man, you could have got away with quite a few things
that I
couldn't have done, for example. You know?
Well, I was too thin. I was too thin, and I didn't have the shoulders.
Right.
And I did have the spots. That was the problem. Here's one from Sean in Brighton that brings back memories. Once when I was about 16, I tried to put rips in my jeans. I cut about 30 rips with a pair of scissors, making them entirely useless and even less fashionable. Now, you still see that. In fact, it's coming back even, maybe. Some people have so many rips down the pair of jeans that it's almost like a sort of series of tube socks. Do you know what I mean? And then they're so ripped that there's fabric underneath.
Yes.
So that they don't get cold, which seems to sort of circumvent the point of the whole ripping exercise.
No, it's fashion eating itself in a very grotesque way.
Sometimes the bottom of the butt cheek is ripped as well, so the pants come right out.
And so does the bottom.
And the bottom comes all the way out.
Hello. Hello. Hello, what a lovely day.
Look at me. I'm a bottom.
Oh dear.
I'm popping out to say hello.
Here's one from Betsy. Aged 15. You're right.
I just like the idea of a talking bum like that.
Age 15, black Doc Martens sprayed metallic purple. Let's recap. Black Doc Martens sprayed metallic purple with car retouch paint.
Hey, I did that.
Brackets fumes nearly killed me and my little brother.
Yeah.
A black chiffon skirt, woolly tights, and my big brother's lumberjack shirt that I cut the collar off, tied at the waist, a la Daisy Duke, with a ripped black T-shirt underneath. Nice.
Whoa.
Not very, says Betsy.
I did the same thing. I had some DMs. And I wanted, basically what I wanted was patent leather DMs, you know, really shiny ones. So what I did was just went out and got some black gloss car paint, sprayed them all up nice, very nice and shiny. I was thinking, these are wicked. First of all, had a disaster wandering around the house with and didn't realize that they weren't properly dry. The soles still had a little bit of paint on them.
Right, so you were leaving footprint, painty footprints.
Like car paint footprints on the carpet. Didn't go down well. And then the other thing I didn't realize was that that car paint does not breathe in the same way that leather would.
No.
So I went out for a night out and I ended up stinking like a freak, and my feet were all sweaty, and I don't think it's good for you to put car paint on your clothes.
No, car paint's the operative word is car.
Right. They don't tell you that, though, when you're growing up.
No, they
no
don't.
No one tells you.
They only tell you when they call it car paint. That's when they tell you. Here's one from Helen. This is a good one, Helen. Hi, I once got an old pillowcase, cut a head hole, an armhole, to make a little suntop. Completely shapeless. Indeed, it looked like I was wearing a pillowcase. It's shop-bought clothes all the way now.
Oh, that's a shame. I bet you look nice in it.
What did she do with the little flap, you know, designed for keeping in the top of the pillow?
Well, that's she could Maybe have kept things in it. Pens and that.
What about a sort of, you know, nun-style habitat?
Uh-huh.
On the top.
Habitat.
Mother Teresa-style hat. Anyway, keep your homemade fashion disasters coming in. 64046 is the text number. The email is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. They're already making me feel a lot better.
Absolutely. Here's MGMT. They're so hot right now. This is Kids. Kids by MGMT. Hey, this is Adam and Joe. It's a Saturday morning. It's a nice one. I think it's going to be a nice weekend, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Johnny Weatherpants?
Yeah.
And folks, you know, you could do worse this weekend than to go to the cinema. And if you do, you might see a radio ad for our show, right?
Yeah, we recorded an advert that's supposed to go out in 60% of UK cinemas. We're not entirely sure that it's on yet, though, are we?
I think it was started airing yesterday.
How do you know?
I got an email from Caroline. And she informed me of that fact.
Well, that's exciting. So we're reaching out to you, listeners. If you go to the cinema this weekend, let us know if you hear a kind of condensed version of this show in the form of an advert. I think what they do is they project a BBC logo and the lights are down in the cinema and then it's just audio.
Right.
And then
they did it with Moyles, stuff. Yeah. I think, earlier
Pretty
in the
successful
year.
Successful technique.
It went over massively well.
Yeah, very deep penetration, audience penetration.
For Moyles.
So now we're going to probably do less well, but we'd be excited if anyone out there heard it, right?
Yeah. I mean, that would be amazing. Can you imagine, like, going
amazing.
To the cinema and...
Going to the cinema alone would be amazing.
Yeah, you know, I hear they project these massive pictures up and there's ants and they live in space.
Chimps in space?
No.
Space chimps?
Fly Me to the Moon, I thought, was that. Oh, that's flies, isn't it?
I don't know, mate.
Clues in the title,
I'm not
suppose.
As in touch with children's films.
You know what? I never went to see Chimps in Space last week.
Very wise. Would have been a stupid mistake.
I know. I hope I never will see Chimps in Space.
It might be very good. We shouldn't prejudge it.
Well,
I tell you what I saw.
What did you see?
Gamora.
Gomorrah?
It's about the Naples Mafia. It was wicked.
Was it?
Yeah, it
Who's
was.
In that?
Excellent. People you don't know. Real people. Not Colin Farrell. It's really good.
Real people?
Gomorrah.
Julia Roberts?
2 hours 20, but it flies by. Some superb killings.
Robert Downey Jr.?
No.
What?
No stars. I know it's confusing for you.
What's the point then?
But the point is that it's more real.
Ewan McGregor? Is he in it?
No, he's not in it.
Well, what do you do then for 2 hours?
You look at the real people doing the real things.
I don't know about that.
It's very good.
Charlie Borman, he must be in it.
He is in it.
Okay, good.
He plays the lead.
Is this your free choice now, Joe?
Yeah, this is a band from the 80s, and it's one of those 80s albums that holds up incredibly well. Tropical Gangsters by Kid Creole and the Coconuts. It's true.
I know, I do love
it
this album.
It holds up amazingly
I'm
well.
I'm surprised,
in my
though,
brain.
That you are that...
I love
gung-ho
it.
About
I love it. Yeah. I stand up for it. This is, I think, the last track on the album, maybe, or the penultimate. This is No Fish Today. Hooray!
Hooray.
It is the voice of the big British castle. It is the top of the hour. Ooh, that's wonderful. I got so bored with the last hour. I'm glad it's gone. Now here's the new one. It's exciting and it's new. How do you do?
Indeed. It's Adam Buxton here with Joe Cornish,
Hello.
My man JC.
My man. And thank you, the couple of people who've texted in to say they've seen our cinema advert. Benji and Kaz in N4 say, we saw your advert last night, but we forgive you and we're still listening. They didn't like it.
It's not very nice.
It's tricky, you know. We had to... We wrote it ourselves. You sort of came up with the idea. Buckles.
You're shifting
Buxton,
it onto me.
I'm disowning it. Oh, it's a good, it was very, very good, I think, advert,
I think.
Well,
it was hard to, what do you put in like a 1.5 minute ad about a radio show like this, which is just formless, rambly, old nutties?
Well, the listeners will find out if they end up going to the cinema and hearing it.
Yeah.
Yasmin in Sheffield says, hi, Adam and Joe, we went to see The Duchess at the cinema last night and saw your ad. It went down very well.
Hey, that's the...
See, there's a
That's
positive.
What I want to hear, that's exactly. More like it. Who was that from?
Oh, that's from Yasmin.
I like Yasmin.
Yasmin, she's sexy.
She is very attractive.
She's sexy.
And she went to see The Duchess. You know, on the list of Yasmin's to-see list was Space Chimps or The Duchess. And she thought, I think I'm going to see The Duchess because Keira Knightley is pulling out the performance of her career from her acting bag. And she was rewarded for her good judgment with the Adam and Joe radio cinema ad.
Yes.
Yes. What a waste of talking and words that was. Now, we're in the midst of Text the Nation, ladies and gentlemen, and we are asking you to reminisce about your homemade fashion nightmares.
Yeah, and we've got some good ones. What I'm going to read out now. Here is from one in Sean from Brighton.
Joe's,
is that a good sentence?
He's stuck. That was pretty good.
That was good.
It sort of went awry in the middle.
The meaning came across, didn't it?
Yeah.
Once when I was about 16, I tried to put rips in my jeans. I think I've read this before. Sorry. I'm going
to get it together, JC.
I'm going to read a different one. Shh. Okay. This is an anonymous one. Forget all that Sean in Brighton business. I once made a pair of underpants. They could only accommodate 2 items, which meant there was always... Can I say nut? Yeah. Can I say knob? Right. There was always It was a no for the knob. That's fine. Knob. There was always a nut or a knob sticking out. I gave them to a charity shop. What, the nut and the knob?
Why would you make underpants?
I don't know. He or she, it's anonymous. They don't explain. I think that's brilliant.
I mean, there's a brilliance to it. But why do you make...
It's cheaper than buying them.
Who's going to see underpants?
Exactly.
Underpants are not expensive. It's cheaper than buying them. What are you talking about? You have to get the material. What's he making them out of?
I don't know. We need more. We need the person's name. We need more information. We've got your phone number, so don't try and run away. But please send us more information on that one.
What a day, though, when you think, I'm going to make some underpants today.
I think for Christmas we should make each other underpants.
That's a good idea.
And give them to
Too small. Too small, everything's sticking out. I'm going to make some different ones now. Tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow.
think that would be good.
Next week, I'm going to make some socks.
Here's one from Ash in Croydon, who I believe is a regular texter. But still, I don't know the gender of Ash. Maybe Ash is a robot.
Could possibly be a robot.
I once bought white jeans and got my mates to draw all over them. I thought I was well cool until someone drew pee onto them.
What?
I still wore them. How can you draw? Writing on clothes.
Someone tinkled on the trousers. Is that what she's saying?
Maybe. No, drew a sort of a stain. I don't know what's going on
That's
there.
That's mysterious. Maybe with a yellow marker or something?
You know what the upshot of this segment is?
What?
Is that I need to read through these texts
That's
more
the
carefully.
Key, isn't it?
And select the good ones and just think about it a bit more.
You know, I did think that that's what you were doing.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
That's what was going wrong at the beginning.
I don't know why I thought that. Now, listen, you can do a little bit more of your organisational stuff then during this track. We are playing this a lot, and I'm not complaining because this is a good
what
track.
What is it?
MIA.
Ah, it is a good track.
All I want to do, bang, bang,
is it,
bang,
is it
bang.
A Six Music playlist track?
Yeah, we want
people to pay attention to this. It's important.
Here we go, MIA with Paper Planes.
MIA, Paper Planes could have been written about the financial crisis in a way, couldn't it, Joe?
Yeah, the share prices.
The greed of the banks, the marketeers.
Funding to the ground like feeble paper planes.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely right. Thank you. I'm just going to think about that.
Your savings safe, Adam Buxton?
Savings currently safe. Currently safe. But who is safe? Who is really safe?
Who is safe?
Who is really
exactly.
safe?
Exactly.
Except for a man who keeps his savings, foolishly, some would say, in a locked box. You know?
Sales of safes have gone up.
I mean, the guy who keeps his cash under the bed is probably going to be having a little chickle chuckle right now, isn't he? At all the people who are saying, oh, no, you should put that in a bank. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to get all my savings out in cash. In a briefcase. That would be quite fun to do, wouldn't it?
Do you think a lot of people
in an attaché briefcase.
That's going to make things worse, though, man, if you do that.
I know that. That's a run on the banks. You don't want to do that.
No.
Anyway, we don't want to talk about this kind of rubbish, do we?
I do.
Do you?
How much do you understand about it all?
Everything.
Do you really?
Mm.
No, you never.
What? Ask me something.
Surely it's... Tell me if I'm wrong. Surely when people are saying like, oh, there's chaos in the banks, the bailout's not working. Surely the reason the bailout is not working is because of the rotten marketeers, all the suits on the floors, right? Who are not, they're sending the, you know, they're doing their crazy random selling and panic buying or whatever. And they're not getting behind all the bailout plans.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to all the jackasses and all the city boys. Am I right?
Yeah, to a degree. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Thanks.
I tell you what, watch the film Trading Places. That'll tell you all you need to know.
Okay, thank you very much.
I tell you what I don't understand.
Pork bellies.
pork bellies? Okay, clear something up for me. This is on a completely different tangent.
Go ahead.
In a film, if there's a gunfight, person A and person B are having an argument.
Right.
Person A pulls a gun on person B.
Yes.
Right? Person B thinks, right, I'm done.
Yeah.
But then person C turns up behind person A and holds a gun to person A's head.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
At which point person A, because there's a gun to their head, always goes, throws the gun down.
Not always.
Not always. Now, but this is a logic. I was watching the new Indiana Jones movie again on the weekend.
Right.
And there's a similar sequence there when Jonesy's got a gun. It's pointed at evil Cate Blanchett.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Russians have all got their guns on him. And he just goes, drop the guns. And they do it. They drop their guns. But then Ray Winston turns up next to Indy and he's got a gun pointed at Indy.
Right.
So, but what's the logic there? Why do you drop your gun? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, because they drop the gun because they value their own lives more than...
But that doesn't exactly make sense. It's as if there's a logic of, okay, whoever draws the gun soonest has control of the situation. Whereas the mounting guns being pulled just mean that everyone's going to die rather than just one person. Like the logic in... Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The logic in Indiana Jones is he's got his gun trained on Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
So he's saying, right, you shoot me before your bullets get to me. My bullet might have got to Cate Blanchett and you love her and you don't want to risk her dying, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen, is it? No. Everyone will just shoot at once and they'll all die.
Well, no, they won't, because if Ray Winston wants to shoot Indy in the head, he's going to shoot him immediately, so Indy knows.
Yeah, but what if Indy shoots Cate Blanchett in the head?
It's not going to happen because he'll be dead by the from the Ray Winston bullet.
What if he just
bullet?
Does it now, first, before Winston does it?
Why would he suddenly do that?
Because he'd do it and run away.
No, what are you talking about? Winston then will shoot him as he's running away.
Right, right.
You haven't thought this through.
I still think there's a problem with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, when you get in that situation, fine, let's find out. If any listeners out there would like to pull a gun on Joe in a dark alley, no, I'm joking.
I'm talking about in feature films in pretend scenarios.
Yeah. No, I think it's the proximity of the gun, and if someone's got a gun to your head, then you sort of...
Oh, the closer the gun, because the bullet has to travel less distance.
Well, yeah, in a way.
It still doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it.
He's not having it.
I'm a bit thick.
Hey, I'm a bit thick too.
Cool, let's do a show together.
Wicked. Okay, now I've got a free choice for you listeners. This is OMD, and this is a strange one from OMD. I mean, this is late period OMD, I think. But they went through lots of different phases, and they were always amazingly creative and unusual. And this track melges, if I can use that made-up word, different types of like electronic sounds, and then it's got a little pastoral interlude with some flutes in there. There's all kinds of crazy things going on, and I'm playing it in the hope that my mum might enjoy it, because she listens to our show, but she doesn't like a lot of the indie music, and I thought maybe this would be a compromise. This is Talking Loud and Clear by OMD.
Wowza. You know, that gets better and better, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I really like that song, and I can't wait to see it at the beginning of the movie.
When's the movie come out again?
Early November.
Early November.
So soon, a few weeks.
Another Way to Die by Jack White. Now, on a totally unrelated...
And Alicia.
And Alicia Keys.
Lovely Alicia.
Sorry Don't about leave that. Her around. Bob Dylan fancies Alicia Keys, doesn't he?
Who doesn't? Yeah, the tortoise.
I was thinking about Alicia Keys.
Yeah, who He's wouldn't fancy her? Songs.
Yeah, she's attractive. How old is she now? 15?
12.
She's 12 still. Mm. That's nice. I was watching this program by accident earlier in the week on Channel 4. It's called The Family.
Yes.
And I was very confused and immediately had an argument with my wife about it, because it seemed to me that it couldn't possibly be real. If you haven't seen it, folks, it's a fly-on-the-wall documentary in the style of, well, there was a seminal 70s documentary called The Family, which was pretty much...
That's the same name.
The granddaddy of... Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to make some...
You did the emphasis differently.
Yeah.
The Family...
The family. The family. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, it's obviously some kind of a throwback to that, or it's, you know, a modern version of the same kind of thing. The 70s version of The Family was supposed to be one of the first ever fly on the wall documentaries. And this one is like a fly on the wall for the noughties, Big Brother meets documentaries in that style. But is it real? It doesn't seem real to me. It seems like ludicrously staged. They've got all cameras around the house, right?
They've got all cameras around the house,
They've got
right?
all that cameras, all yeah. modern life, filming stuff yeah. and all that. Yeah.
They're painted the same colour as the wallpaper behind them, though, the cameras, in an attempt to blend them in.
Do you know anything about the show, Joe?
Well, I've watched it. I've been away, obviously, so I'm missing a lot of telly, but it's one of the first things I've watched from beginning to end since getting back from America, and I enjoyed it immensely.
And it's a family from... Whereabouts are they from?
England.
Know? England.
Somewhere in Britain.
Somewhere
in a house in Britain. I don't know where, but they've got a peculiar sideways sort of a house.
Yeah.
But they seem like a nice bunch.
And they're a kind of middle-class family, you know...
Average British
yeah,
family.
Very average. They're not like...
Nothing particularly eccentric or different about them, no.
No.
But I thought it was very well done, well cut.
And you reckon it's... Do you reckon it's all real? Because, I mean...
Yeah. Well, you can't tell these days because it's like Big Brother itself. Every year it goes by, the contestants become more aware of the rituals and, you know, the way the show plays to the outside world. So is there any such thing as authentic behaviour in front of a camera anymore? You know?
Well, they all say, people who go on those shows, that you forget after a while, you know? And because the cameras aren't actually visible, so the self-consciousness that you experience the first few days just dissipates after a while.
Well, I'd say there's an element of performance in all human relations, Adam.
Well, that's an amazingly brilliant
thing.
There's
a brilliant
say,
horror film called Calvaire that's all about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that husbands and wives are performing to each other a lot of the time.
Right.
A dad or a mum will perform to their child.
Ooh.
You know, when you're on your own in a room... sometimes it can be a bit lonely and confusing because there's no one to perform to. Do you know what I mean?
Certainly.
So maybe there's a bit of that anyway in
That's
the family.
That's why I've got a little cardboard friend that I carry around with me called Michael. Hello, Michael. Hello. Anyway, that's by the by. But it's not true. I don't.
That's all right. It would be fine if you did.
I don't.
It'd be fine if you did.
Michael, it's fine. It's fine, Michael. But I was thinking that it just seems unbelievable still. The thing I can't get my head around with these shows is why would you do it? Obviously, the answer is for the money, right? How much money are they getting paid, do you think, to do a show like
that? A lot.
I mean, you would think a massive amount.
A massive amount.
But is it worth it? I mean, once you've signed that deal with a TV company and Satan, then your life is going to be irrevocably torpedoed.
They're big stars now.
That's a shame.
Yeah, they're going to be big celebs. They'll be in Heat Mag, you see?
Right.
They'll be doing the Christmas Heat Mag, dressing as celebrities or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll go on chat shows. It's a win-win situation, and I think you're just jealous that the Buxton household isn't rigged with cameras.
Oh,
what kind of stuff would we pick up if we did that?
That's true. Me talking to Michael. okay, folks, here's a bit of music now before the news. This is Noah and the Whale with Shape of My Heart.
Yay!
I thought you were going to say something there, Joe.
No, that was Noah and the Whale with what? Shape of My Heart, is it called? Yeah, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's time for the news and the music news. The news read by Catherine Crackfox, we're calling her now, and Ruth Barnes.
Primal Scream with Country Girl. Joe wasn't so sure about that one.
Well, I won't say anything.
Not a fan of the Screamers.
Well, sometimes, you know, you get a band and you think, well, if it was someone else singing on that in a different style, it would just sound like Fairground Attraction or something like that.
If Eddie Reader was belting it out, bit of Danny Minogue.
That would have been a possible Fairground Attraction or a Danny Minogue song. Don't you think? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't really know about that sort of thing.
I don't fancy your chances if you meet Bobby Gillespie in a dark alley, no.
No. That's how he speaks.
Is it?
He's from Scotland, you know.
Hey, happy birthday to Raymond Moore. We don't usually say happy birthday to anybody, but it's Raymond's a big fan, and he's always on my MySpace and your blog and stuff. LL Cool Ray, his name is.
Oh, yeah.
We've just got to say happy birthday to him. He's
happy
proven
birthday.
His dedication to the show, so we
he's
make an
nine
exception.
9 years old.
Lovely 9 years old.
Happy ninth birthday, Ray.
So listen, listeners, and Adam, I was in a bookshop, right? Have you ever been in a bookshop?
No. What are they like?
It must hurt your brain to go into such a place.
Yeah.
They're full of kind of compendiums of information.
You can get coffee there, though, right?
Coded information, yeah, and browse then surf.
Good, good.
You've confused me now. Yeah,
sorry,
I was
mate.
In a bookshop and I was looking at the Mighty Boosh Christmas book.
Oh, yeah.
All the comedy Christmas books are trickling onto the shelves because Christmas is but 2 weeks away now.
Get the lights up.
True. And that the Mighty Boosh comedy book looked very good. It was very thick, like $12.99, but very beautifully produced, glossy hardback number. Mm. But flicking through it, and I'm not being nasty about the Boosh at all. God forbid.
Not.
Because we did a very slim comedy book years and years ago that was in no way as lavish as the Boosh is. And we're guilty of what I'm about to talk about. But in comedy books in particular, there seems to be, people who design them seem to try lots of techniques just to fill a page.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to make it seem value for money. The people writing it are probably quite busy. So it's important to get squeeze as many pages as you can.
Well, the classic format for the comedy book is the scrapbook.
The Monty Python scrapbook.
So, you know, the Papabok was the Monty
right,
Python
there
one,
you
wasn't
go.
It? But the scrapbook format, I'm saying,
yes.
is the way, the easiest way to address all the issues. You can put a few pages of script in there, a couple of photos from the set, a few
photos.
little doilies with ideas written on them.
Well, the Boosh book has... limitless photos of the Bob Fossil character posing by a VW van.
Yeah.
And just it's like they've got a photographer and they've just gone around London and taken pictures of him in different positions and there's one per page.
That's when you're in love with Fossil,
we
too
did
much
that.
Is never enough.
When we did our book, they said, well, we should have a photo shoot as well and think of as many things as possible to do. Right? So we did a guide to dancing, just any old rubbish we could think of that would fill a page.
We didn't do a whole page with just one photograph
no.
in it with someone pointing.
We never stooped that low.
Which does pop up in comedy books every now and again.
The Boosh has quite a few of those.
The Fast Show book was a little bit like that, I remember.
What are other techniques people use? I mean, the Boosh have got quite a clever one, which is they've got comedy BlackBerry messages.
Yeah.
But they've printed the whole BlackBerry.
Right.
So there are three messages of about four or five lines each, very funny ones, but they're surrounded by an actual massive picture of a BlackBerry phone, and they're at jaunty angles.
But you need it, though, to sell the joke, you know what I mean? Otherwise, you couldn't just have like a little thing in a corner imagine these on a BlackBerry with the lines printed.
Well, you wouldn't obviously do that, but there would be other ways to present them.
I don't think they would.
But that's a clever one, isn't it? Because it's justified, but at the same time, 12 lines, a page.
Yeah. Bam. But having said all that, you do get the benefit. Both Julian and Noel are unusually talented artists in one way or another. Like, particularly Noel. I think Noel's like more into his
painting. They already got an art book, though?
Has he?
I don't know. Or maybe this is the way to get your hands on some of their painting.
You know, the mother, the daddy, the king of all those books is the League of Gentlemen one.
Right.
Their big book was just beautiful. And I know they put a huge amount of effort into that. That's well worth having.
Another key thing they have in those books is a mini book inside the book, right?
Right.
That's something that Monty Python innovated, perhaps.
Maybe.
To have smaller pages bound within the bigger pages and for it to be like a weird sort of subtext.
Yeah, I think everyone who does a comedy book says to their publisher, you know, we want it to be like the Monty Python books, don't they? I mean, you'd be insane if you didn't, because they were never bettered, really, were they?
I wanted to just put scripts in ours.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tempting thing. But what kind of scripts would you get from our
very good
rubbish
ones that I wrote?
Well, you know, I couldn't believe that they published whole books full of Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's radio rambles. I mean, that was unbelievable, I thought.
Well, they're on the national syllabus now.
Yeah, quite right.
You have to study them for GCSE.
I mean, I'm not saying that their radio rambles were not enjoyable. They were highly enjoyable. I loved their podcasts.
Why doesn't someone publish a book of our radio
rambles? Because they're not insane, is why.
No, but they are insane.
Oh, I see.
And people out there are insane. Maybe we'll make some loony money.
What am I thinking? They are
the
insane.
The loony market. The I'll buy anything market. It's huge.
Exploit the loonies. No, we're okay. We've got our sellout ads and stuff anyway, so we're fine. How about a little bit of Stranglers? Do you fancy this one?
Yes, please.
Late period Stranglers. Here's Strange Little Girl.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation time. We're going to wrap things up in the Text the Nation barn.
Wrap it up. Yeah?
Wrapping things up in the Text of the Nation barn. We're going to wrap it up with some paper. If you don't got paper, what about some material?
Oh. I was waiting for a rhyme.
I know.
All through that rap, I was waiting for a rhyme.
I know.
But it was kind of brilliant that there wasn't one.
Really?
Yeah.
If you don't got...
Have a record deal.
If you don't got material, how about paint? You could just paint the things in the barn.
Mm.
Oh dear. Should we just play another record? No, let's
Text the Nation. Look, here are some good ones. You know, we had the man who made his own pants.
Yes.
Well, he's sent some stuff in, and of course it was a man, as someone clearly pointed out. If it wasn't a man, how could the
Julies hang out?
Yeah. So his name is Simon Turner, and he says, I made them as a surprise for my wife.
He was a man at that stage. Well, I guess.
I bought her a sewing machine and she was making curtains and there was material left over, so he nipped in and made himself a pair of sexy underpants.
Sexy pants from curtains.
And then removed his trousers later that evening to present to her.
I've got a surprise for you, darling.
Imagine, picture the scene, especially with everything sticking out. How sexy can you get?
Toasted crumpet. Okay.
Here's a couple of more good ones. Is that good English? Yes. Hello, Adam and Joe. When I was about 15, I was desperate to prove I wasn't part of the crowd. I wanted to come up with a good way to be subversive and rebellious. When I couldn't come up with a good idea, I decided that I would wear my shirt as jeans and my jeans as a shirt.
Wow.
I got two pairs of jeans, ripped one of them in half so each trouser leg acted as a sleeve, and used the other pair of jeans as a sort of bonding material in between. I taped it all together with brown parcel tape and tried to slip my shirt onto my legs.
What?
Naturally, I look ridiculous, like a fashion version of the Elephant Man.
A fashion version?
The look never left my bedroom, and all I had to show for my project was two ruined pairs of jump jeans and a ruined shirt. That's John from Canterbury.
Good experimentation, though. It's an idea that's crossed most people's minds at some stage, hasn't it? Wearing your trousers like a shirt?
They're similar garments, yeah. A shirt's just like a pair of trousers with an enormous gusset.
Yes, exactly. If you just slashed a hole...
Can I say gusset?
Yeah. If you slashed a hole between the legs of your jeans, you know, and thrust your arms up into the legs, you could pop your head through the hole.
Yes.
And then you could... It would be like a kind of crazy tank top with long arms.
Listen, talking of popping your head through the hole, here's a final one from Mary. You're scared now, aren't you?
Mm.
It says, more fashion misinterpretation. Looking for a new training bra, at the tender age of 12, I asked my mum if she had something. She said, look in my underwear drawer. There I found a sexy-looking bra and quickly threw it on. When she saw me, she fell about laughing. It was not until I was much older that I realised I'd been wearing a pair of her rude pants with my head sticking through the missing crotch. Yours sincerely, Mary. What a lovely way to end this week's Textonation. Thanks very much to everyone who sent in a text. And thanks to the person who pointed out that Gideon Coe had done exactly the same subject a few weeks ago. We don't care.
No, it's not about the subject. It's about your texts, listeners.
Exactly.
Yeah, you are what makes this show unique, and we thank you for it. So if we didn't read out your text or email, we apologise, but we've read every single one, and we really appreciate you sending those in.
Can I read out one more email quickly?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, this is from Nick Barth. He says, it was interesting to hear Joe talk about the new Blue Peter, which is now liberally sprinkled with musical beds. Recently, I've become obsessed with the idea of having a music bed for my phone. He's giving us a non-branded version of the iPhone for various conversations. For example, some nice comforting music for telling my wife that I'm going to be home late. Some sophisticated classical stuff for talking authoritatively to colleagues. Or maybe some Philip Glass in the background when I'm on the phone to a call center to get them to hurry things up. Maybe you could publicize this idea, then some wise widget wizard will help to develop the thing and we can all buy it for our iPhones.
That's a good idea.
That's a very good idea. Music beds for the iPhone.
Music beds for chat. You know, one thing, because I just moved house fairly recently, yeah. I've been on the phone to various people trying to get things installed. So I've had to go through a lot of those things where you go through the options, right? You sit there for about 20 minutes getting the options. I thought, I should have options when people call me. So next week I'm going to bring in my new option thing that I'm going to have for my phone.
I had an idea for the... I haven't got one of these iPhones, but I had an idea, though. They've got sat-nav. Why not have chat-nav?
Right.
So when you're having a conversation, the chat-nav gives you instructions. In 6 words, agree. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
After the end of this sentence, slap on left cheek and leave room. Chat nav.
Try saying, yeah.
That would be the most common one.
That would be the basic one.
After 12 words, say, really? That's fascinating.
And then for a random one, you could just say, take a left turn now. And then you
conversationally,
stop.
Conversationally. Exactly. Topically. Exactly. Chat nav. Perfect.
Very nice.
Great ideas for widgets.
Joe, is this your free choice now?
Is it? Yeah, this is a Tribe Called Quest with Check the Rhyme from the Low End Theory.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's Tribe Called Quest there with Check the Rhyme. It's nearly the end of the show now.
That's pretty much it, isn't it? Thanks a lot for listening. Hey, folks, don't forget, you can download a podcast of the edited bits of this show. I always hesitate to call them highlights because it seems a little ambitious.
You're too modest,
ambitious.
Man. Yeah. Plus, you can listen to the whole thing again on Listen Again via the Six Music website or on the BBC iPlayer as well.
Next week, we're going to try and do scary songs for Song Wars. Is that right?
Yes, scary songs in preparation for our terrifying Halloween special.
And we may have a special guest in the studio next week.
Yeah.
And we never normally have guests. Are we okay to talk about this? We might have Roger Moore.
We might get Roger Moore to come in and listen to our Quantum of Solace songs.
Because, you know, Roger Moore, he's got this new book out, his autobiography, My Word is My
Bond. He was very good on Jonathan Ross last night, but we might be getting him in here next weekend towards the end of the show just to see whether he likes our Bond themes.
Especially as you actually name-check him in your Bond song.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So all that to look forward to. We're really going to miss you this week, take care of yourselves, will you?
Just be careful. You've been a bit reckless recently.
Exactly. Be careful out there. Liz Kershaw's coming up. Right now, here's Pavement with a session track recorded for Steve Lamacq in 1997. This is Harness Your Hopes. Have a good week. Bye. I love you. Bye.
Bye. Harness your hopes on just one person. You know, because a harness was only made for one. Don't telegraph your passes. You'll end up with...